The Lord be with you. The reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and said, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, the master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife and his children and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant forgave the debt. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him, started to choke him, and demanded, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had his fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the loan. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed. They went to their master and reported the whole affair. The master summoned him and said, 'You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have done so with your fellow servant?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he paid back the entire debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother, your sister, from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. A phrase which has come to me for this Sunday is the phrase "forgive and forget." Does that sound familiar? You've heard it probably growing up. Forgive and forget. It's one of those maxims, sayings that are often talked about, shared with us, especially as we're kids. It becomes sort of a moral code, if you will, of how to live. Oddly enough, I don't find it a useful saying. I don't know if it captures the heart of what forgiveness is really all about, as if we know what forgiveness is really all about. But on this particular Sunday, we're asked to reflect on that part of our life as Christians about forgiveness. There's a few things in the Gospel which I think are really important for us to set a context to understand what we're up against. In the story, the one servant owed what is described as a huge amount. What's a huge amount? The readings would say, the commentaries would say, it's unimaginable what the man owed. In other words, it's so big he could never pay it back. It is a debt of eternity. I looked at the national clock on the national debt, rather. It just continually ticks up. If you ever looked at it on the internet, it's like $26 trillion and it keeps going up. That's a debt we'll never pay back. That's what this servant was up against. He owed so much to this master of his, he could never pay it back. And so the phrase that comes later is, please be patient with me and I will pay you back in full, is useless. Because both the servant and the master know there's no way you could do that. You can't pay it back. So, St. Matthew tells us, with compassion, he looked at this servant and forgave the debt. With compassion, he forgave the debt. Later in the story, the other servant comes along who owes a much smaller fraction and doesn't receive compassion from his friend, but torture. The end of the story, the parable says, you're not going to get what you want or what you need unless you're willing to give it to other people. Jesus uses that phrase many times in his ministry and calls us to forgive as we are forgiven or to be treated as we wish to be treated. And the new commandment that we heard today in the Gospel acclamation was what? Love as I love. Not as you want to be loved, but as I love, as I, the Redeemer, love, so you love. Which raises the bar on how you and I are supposed to treat one another. We desire compassion and forgiveness, so therefore we wish it from someone else. Then we look to Jesus and we see his love and compassion to be just enormously beyond ours. And that's what he says, there's your goal, where you cannot reach. But because it's so far beyond you, you're going to spend every day of your life trying to reach it. The only way to get even close to it is to strive and to keep moving, to keep praying and to keep perfecting your life toward it. And to know at the same time you're never going to reach it. But reaching is not the point. Moving toward it and living our lives in its light and in the gospel message is the point. Compassion. We might look at compassion and forgiveness to be somewhat similar, or at least required one for the other. If we don't have compassion for one another, then how could we forgive? In the bulletin this week, my story, my article to you, my letter to you, first speaks about a story I discovered about a woman named Immaculate Ilibagiza. She survived the Rwandan genocide in the early 90s, but her family did not. They were murdered. And she survived because she and several other women huddled in a very small bathroom for several months, hiding so they would not be discovered and they would not be killed. And when they were safe enough for them to come out, she discovered that her family was murdered. The rage that filled her heart is very real and most likely is still there. She, however, made a promise and a pledge that that rage and that hatred would not define her. It would not claim her. She would be claimed by the love and the compassion of Christ. She struggles to maintain that pledge. So going back to my opening line about that forgive and forget, it's that forgetting part which is not possible. The memory is essential. What we do with the memory and what it dredges up with us and from us is something we strive to control and hand over to God. But forgetting is not an option. So as I read her story, I get this sense of a woman who struggles to do the Christian thing, to have that love and compassion in her heart, not the rage and not the anger, but the compassion which is required for the forgiveness that she struggles to give. And at first, when the question is asked to her, it's like, no, there is no forgiveness. Not for something of this level, where human life is disregarded and stamped out. There is no forgiveness.
but the grace of God works within her. And eventually she had the words to say, I do forgive. And she did it face to face to one of the people who had a hand in all of this. But every day is a commitment to rediscover the compassion that she first promised would rule her heart. Not the fear, not the anger, and not the rage, but the compassion and love which comes from Christ would rule her heart. That commitment she makes every day. It's a process of forgiving day after day, maybe even moment after moment, because the memory brings up the events that must be forgiven. So forgiving, forgetting and forgiving is not possible. It sounds like, well, I've got done with that. It's over. It's never over. If you notice that even for yourselves, I notice it for myself. I could say, well, I forgive you, but I dwell on the event and I get angry all over again. Now, I've done that with my confrers, odd as it may seem, but a thing they would say or do, whatever it could be, I'll dwell on it. And they get angry over it all again. That's not forgiving and that's not forgetting. But it is a moment to ask that the grace of Christ enter me again to say, reorder your heart toward compassion and love. That's where the work has to happen. The grace comes, but then we have to act on it. Immaculate Ilibaza does that every day. If we experience great trauma at the hands of another person, it's too easy to say, just forgive them. We must make peace with what happened. And making peace is a long process, much like that great unreachable goal I mentioned earlier. We may never get it, but we keep moving toward it. That's the point. You know, as a parish community, we're beginning to reflect a lot on issues around racism. And the Pastoral Council is designing some moments to opportunities for us to talk about it. But first, we're going to ask parishioners who would be great spokespeople to talk about their experience of it and their reaction to it. And it involves a question about forgiveness, but maybe quite nuanced is, what do you think about forgiveness and from what you've experienced? Not have you forgiven, but what are your thoughts about it? I'm interested to hear what they say, because I would suspect there'd be something all over the board, perhaps, that I try to forgive but I can't, or this isn't the time, or there may never be a time. It's important for us to hear that and to realize that we're invited into a process of forgiving and love, and we're not perfect at it, but we continually discover the grace of Christ to move us forward. So perhaps as we experience violence, maybe it's within our own families, how do we move toward forgiveness and what do we have to say in order to do so? Are we okay with saying forgiveness isn't going to come just yet, and it'll come when time is ready, if time is ready? I always find that the Gospels challenge me to do more, to be open to more, to be thinking in the ways that Christ calls. And so simple phrases like, well, just forgive and forget, for me, don't work. They don't reflect the reality of what I live. And I don't think they reflect the reality of what you live. And they don't reflect the reality of our friend Immaculate Ilibaza, who lives through great terror and a great pain to her as she watched her family die. So the challenge for you and for me is always present. You know, our Catholic tradition, it has a great practice. You know, it's called like the morning prayers and the morning offerings. And I think, you know, and the evening prayers and the evening offerings that we still hopefully do. I know going through the seminary, those were really big things where you always said the morning offering when you got up, and then the nighttime you recollected the day. So the morning offering was to be, Lord, this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to do all the good things for your honor and keep me away from sin. At the end of the day, you say, it's kind of like a checklist. Did that, that's about it. Failed at the rest. But that recollection at the end of the day and that commitment in the morning is important. So perhaps we can draw on that tradition and think, Lord, this day I offer to you that I do good things and I love people. And at the end of the day, we say, how did I do? How did I do? This isn't a time for the Lord to say, here's where you failed. This is a time for you and me to say, honestly, here's where I need help. And tomorrow's offering, this is where I need help today. A great, great help for us as a community. The other indispensable source of that grace that you and I need is that the Eucharist will receive today. That grace and that presence of Christ comes into us to change us into His image, into His love, and that is what we need in order to live as a Christian. Without it, we cannot live. So as we receive the Eucharist today, know that the grace of Christ comes inside you to form you into His image and according to His love and His power to redeem and His compassion to look upon all people with love. When we receive the Eucharist, we open ourselves to that possibility that we will have compassion and love.